I'll be reading this morning in the book of Genesis chapter 6 and then a couple of verses in Hebrews 11. And we'll stand for the reading of the word in Genesis chapter 6, and I'll start at verse 1. Came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. It grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 6 and 7, For without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to preach your word this morning. We ask for the anointing of your spirit. We pray for the good of those who are listening this morning. May the power of the gospel transform lives. We believe, Lord, that the gospel has the power to transform our lives. And I pray, Jesus, that you would move by your spirit among us this morning, deal with hearts, and we'll give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach this morning for a few minutes on selected to live. In my text, society has filled the cup of iniquity and earned the judgment of God. And God is about to cleanse the earth with a flood and wipe out the human race with the exception of 8 souls. Noah and his family have been selected to live. Noah stood out in his generation. And I want to look at the distinguishing characteristics of this man that saved him and his family from the wrath of God. The writer of Hebrews tells us that Noah was a man of faith, and this distinguished him in his generation. He lived in a generation of unbelievers. He lived in a generation of people without faith. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 and 6 that without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You cannot please God without faith. So to discount the word and the works of God is an insult to God. In every generation, the people of faith are marked out in every generation. And the trajectory of their life diverges drastically from the people of the world. I want to point out three things about the faith of Noah. First of all, the root of his faith. Secondly, the revelation of his faith. And thirdly, the reward of his faith. First of all, let's look at the root of his faith. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Noah didn't have a Bible, but he had the reports of five generations still living concerning the wonderful works of God. Noah was born into the godly lineage of Seth. And all five ancestors of his that were surviving in his lifetime knew his great-grandfather, Enoch. And no doubt they passed on to him the story of how Enoch walked with God and he was not. How God translated him, gave to him the stories of the life of this godly ancestor. The story of how Enoch walked with God, the narrative of the creation, the revelation of the mighty Creator, the promise of a seed that would crush the head of the serpent. All of these great truths was the heritage of Noah's family. And Noah believed the report. And also passed on that report to his children. He believed the report that was passed to him, the report that was confirmed to him by five generations of witnesses. And I want you to understand this morning that if faith is the only way to please God, and faith comes by the testimony of God's word, then it is imperative that we publish the Word of God. Romans 10, 13 and 14 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So, preachers preach, people hear, they believe, they call, they are saved. But the conclusion, salvation, can only be reached if someone proclaims the truth of salvation through Jesus Christ. So, brother, we can't let this break down at the beginning. The beginning is somebody tells the good news. Somebody hears it. They believe it. They call on the Lord. They are saved. And so every one of us here this morning have the responsibility of making known the truth of the Word of God. If men will be judged for not believing and not calling on the name of the Lord, will we not be judged for failing to tell the masses the message of salvation? Someone told Noah about the truth of God, and he believed the report. And Noah was a man of faith. Secondly, I want to talk about the revelation of his faith. The Bible makes very clear that genuine faith results in action. The Bible tells us in James chapter 2 that faith without works is dead. And in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 through 10, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." It's impossible to have genuine faith in God without having good works to accompany that faith. Noah's faith resulted in fellowship with God. The Bible says that he walked with God. Hebrews 11 and 6 characterizes our faith like this. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Right there is a characteristic of faith. It believes in the existence of God and in the faithfulness of God. That man of faith believes that God is there. He believes that God is faithful and that God answers prayer. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Men of faith fellowship with God. They diligently seek after God. This is the characteristic of faith. They diligently seek after God. And God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So they value time with God. And they make time for God. Talking about men of faith now. They value time with God. They make time for God. They know that their spiritual life is dependent upon their staying close to God. And a man of faith fellowships with God. He makes time for God. He diligently seeks God. And God said, they that diligently seek him shall be rewarded by him. But they don't only diligently seek God, they hear from God. This man Noah had been talking to God, and God had been talking to him. He heard from God. And God spoke to Noah and told him what he was about to do, and told him, I want you to build an ark for the saving of your household. So this man Noah fellowship with God, diligently sought God, and God spoke to this man and told him what to do in order to save himself and save his household. Brother, it's time that men of faith again call on God with all of their heart. Let God hear from us and open our ears to hear from God. We are in a crisis time, and we must be men and women of faith. Men of faith not only fellowship with God, they fear God. The Bible says about Noah that he was moved with fear to do what God told him to do, to build an ark to the saving of his household. That man of faith believes that what God says he will do, he will do it. And so when God told Noah, I want you to prepare for the flood, even though it had never rained, never been a flood, but Noah believed God, and his faith was manifested in the erecting of that ark. Men of faith fear the wrath and judgment of God, and they flee from the wrath to come. The reason that people do not pray and do not seek God is they don't fear God. They don't have the faith that fears God. Brother, when you have the faith that fears God, you will do what God says, because you are confident that what God promises, he will do. You are just as sure that there's a hell as you are that there is a heaven. For what the Lord says, you believe it. A man of faith fears God. And men of faith not only fellowship with God and fear God, but a man of faith speaks for God. In 2 Peter 2 and 5, Peter declares that God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah warned his generation of God's impending judgment due to their sin. Listen to what David said in Psalm chapter 116 and verse 10. I believed, therefore have I spoken. Paul quotes David and applies this principle to his own witness in 2 Corinthians 4:13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. Now listen to me. Faith compels witness. And the root of our silence is our lack of faith. This is the root of our silence when men need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. When all around us are souls that are perishing without Christ, the root of our silence is our lack of faith. A man of faith fellowships with God. A man of faith fears God. A man of faith speaks for God. This was the evidence, this was the revelation of the faith of Noah. Thirdly, I want to talk to you about the reward of his faith. Because of his faith, Noah was selected to live. The Bible says that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Alone in his generation, of all the men of that generation, alone in his generation, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Because of his faith, the Bible says that he became an heir to righteousness. He was declared to be a just man and perfect in his generation. His faith distinguished him from all other men in his generation. And all men in every generation fall into one of two camps. You're either a person of faith, or you are a person without faith. One or the other. Everybody in this house this morning, you're either a person of faith or you are a person without faith. Those are the only two kind of people that God recognizes in the world. You're either a man of faith or you're a man without faith. You're a woman of faith or you're a woman without faith. And those are the only two kind of people in the world. Noah was a man of faith. He stood out in his generation among a whole generation without faith. Now listen, you know that Noah's faith was tested by loneliness and by isolation. Could everybody else be wrong in the world? Was he the only man that had a right relationship with God? He certainly wasn't the only religious man in the world. But he was the only righteous man in the world. You know, sometimes the life of faith is a lonely life. And your faith is tested when you are surrounded by religious people who curse, tell dirty jokes, feel waking hours in fellowship with Hollywood lowlife, divorce and remarry, smoke cigarettes, drink booze, frequent the casino, dress like a harlot. And these same people may volunteer in the boys' club, the girls' club, go on mission trips to Africa, feed the hungry, help build a church. And you're wondering, can all of these people be wrong? In the last issue of World Magazine, which is a Christian news magazine, they had an article that focused on Jerry Jenkins. He's a co-author of The Left Behind, the popular Left Behind series. Left Behind series is a series of books on the coming of the Lord and the tribulation period. And this article focused on his habit of gambling, frequenting casinos. He also sits on the board of the Moody Bible Institute. And in the past, board members were forbidden to smoke, drink, or gamble. But recently, the Institute removed those prohibitions as being unscriptural rules. So now, the people on the board of Moody Bible Institute, those people who are the decision makers for that once venerable institution, may smoke, drink, and gamble so long as they do it off the campus. Well, that shocked me. I don't know that I should have been shocked, but it did shock me. And I hear things all along in the religious world of our day that shocks me. And the faith of the people of God will be sorely tested as we approach the time of our Lord's return. Jesus asked this question, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" As our society plunges toward hell, the righteous will become more visible and more of an irritant to a society that is hostile to biblical truth. I was really distressed this weekend to find a drag queen from Roanoke featured in yesterday's Roanoke Times. Lengthy article, pictures detailing the disgusting activity of a homosexual who dresses like a woman, transforms his features to look feminine with makeup, and competes in drag queen pageants across this country. And he was crowned the queen of the drag queen pageants in this country. Why would a paper feature such things as that? Make that one of the major articles of the paper, by featuring this hideous practice. The Roanoke Times, along with the other media, are attempting to bring the homosexual lifestyle into the mainstream of the United States of America. And religious people are accepting sodomy as a normal lifestyle. But I'll tell you something, brother. The people of faith will never justify anything that's condemned by the Word of God. Do you hear me? I said the people of faith will never justify anything that is condemned by the Word of God. Noah's faith was tested because here he is in a generation of religious people, violent, corrupt, taking wives of all they choose. And here he is, the only man in the generation that God says, "My favor is upon this man. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Noah's faith was tested not only by the fact that he was lonely in his generation, but his faith was tested by the lack of response in his ministry. This man preached for 120 years to that generation. He's building an ark. His practice of building that ark is a testimony against that generation. And he's preaching. He's a preacher of righteousness, warning that society of the impending judgment of God. And they see this man making preparation every day for the impending judgment of God that's coming on that generation. And that society in his day refused to believe the word of God, brother. 120 years of preaching, and the society that he lived in spite of the fact that he's a just man, he's a righteous man, he's perfect in his generations, and that society turned a deaf ear to the preaching of the man of God. And I know that many ministers and many Christians have given up on rescuing souls in this generation. People's hearts are hard, rebellious. Consciences are seared. And the Bible indicates that the dealings of God are not unending. In fact, he warned Noah's generation, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Sinners resisted the Holy Ghost in that generation. God was dealing with that generation by his spirit. And God warned them, "My spirit will not always strive with man." There is a limit. There is an ending to the striving of God's Spirit with sinful and rebellious men. So sinners resist the Holy Ghost when the Spirit is calling for their repentance. They resist the Holy Ghost at the peril of their soul, because there will be a last call. There will be a last time for God to deal with rebellious sinners. There will be a time after that sinner has refused to surrender, closed their ears, fought off the Spirit of God time and time again. There will be a last time when the Spirit gets no response, that he will depart never to return. And that sinner will pray in hell for all eternity, with no hope for an answer. So God warned that generation, "My spirit shall not always strive with a man." But listen to me. In the midst of great disappointment, Noah receives great comfort from the fact that his whole family has believed the word of God. Hallelujah. His wife is saved. His three sons are saved. His three daughter-in-laws are saved. And by the way, I want you to see in this story that Noah has only one wife, and his sons have only one wife, and every one of them are saved. They have believed the message of the gospel. They have received the word of God. And every one of them march onto that ark, and God closes the door behind them. And that whole generation is outside of that ark. But Noah has convinced his family that the word of God is right and true. Hallelujah. Praise God. Noah prepared an ark, the Bible says, to the saving of his household. Now I want to encourage you here this morning a little bit. So everything I've said probably may have been a little discouraging to you, but I want to encourage you a little bit right here. I want you to know that this man warned his children while raising them in the worst of times. Do you hear me? I said he warned his children to God when he was raising them in the worst of times. In times when God was so tired of men's sins that it repented him that he'd made man on the earth. And in the worst of times, in a society that was deranged, spiritually deranged, And corrupt and violent, and he raised those children in that society and won those children to God. And I'm telling you, we can win our children to God. It don't matter how corrupt our society is. It don't matter how far from God they get. We can win our children to God, brother. We can bring them in the ark. Noah won his children in the worst of times. Oh, we're competing with Hollywood. Or Hollywood, and we're competing with all kinds of technological gadgets. to get our children's minds on eternity, to get our children's minds on the things of God. But if you are a man and woman of faith, if you have believed the Word of God yourself, if there is evidence in your life that you believe the Word of God, that you fear God, I'm telling you, brother, your children can know it. They can sense it in your life. They can hear it from you that the Word of God is true. And your faith can convince your family that the Word of God is right. And you can make men and women of faith out of those in your household, no matter how bad things get around us. The Bible doesn't say this. Sister Judy, I want you to come. It doesn't say this, but I'm sure that Noah's boys helped build that ark. And I'm sure that not only did Noah's boys help build that ark, but I'm sure that they repeated the message their dad was preaching to that generation, so that they were not just, you know, onlookers at what God was doing. They were involved in what God was doing. And this is what we are raising our children for, not just to make them bench warmers where they come to church and say, well, you know, I've been to the house of God. We are praying for them. We are soliciting them to be men and women of faith, so that they are involved in the program and plan of God, in winning souls, in repeating the message, in being a witness for Christ, in being filled with the Holy Ghost, and being powerful influences for Jesus in our generation. Praise the name of Jesus. And this ought to be, we ought never to be satisfied with our children just being religious. We want our children to be sold out to Jesus Christ and to be a blessing in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And I believe we can win our families to Jesus. Noah did it in the worst of times. A lot of people think, well, times are too bad. Don't think I'll have children. Things are too bad. Hey, God wants us to raise godly generations to influence our generation. And you can do it. I'm telling you, you can do it. Noah did it in the worst of times. You can do it. Right now, while we are approaching the time of the coming of the Lord. And brother, just like Noah warned his generation, there's a flood coming. We have a message for our generation. Jesus is on the way. The Son of God has promised He's coming back. And we're going to tell the message that Jesus is coming, that there's a time of judgment on the horizon, and we're going to warn this generation. And we're going to, by the grace of God, pull souls out of a perishing generation to be loyal to Jesus Christ in these last days. One family survived the flood. Their faith in the Lord distinguished them. They were favored of God, saved from the wrath of God. They were selected to live.